It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers take air samples along Lake Michigan in Kenosha County to measure ground-level ozone, the pollution that's created when the fuel burned in vehicles and factories and power plants, it mixes with hot, sunny days. We learn about the elevated readings in this area and potential sources, and you can join the conversation about air quality. Call in with a question or your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Todd McKinney is a researcher for Rocket City Ozone Quality Evaluation in the troposphere at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, part of a multi-state and federal agency project monitoring ground ozone in southeast Wisconsin and over Lake Michigan. Todd, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So take us into this project. You're involved in a month-long ozone monitoring project, and you're using balloons and drone and a plane. And the choice of the area is the Shewaukee Prairie State Natural Area near Pleasant Prairie. What is the scope of this project?
Yeah, so ozone, if you don't know, is a what we call a secondary pollutant, right? So everyone thinks of ozone as being in the stratosphere, right? You've heard the ozone layer. But people really don't realize that ozone up high is great. You know, it blocks solar radiation. But ozone in the troposphere is actually a really bad pollutant that has, if it's high enough, can cause really bad respiratory problems. So one of the main reasons why we're here along the lakeshore is all that pollution that can come off from Chicago, we call it the Chicago plume, can be blown north over the lakeshore where there's not a lot of people, right? And then when the sun comes up and you get what's called a lake breeze effect, so you have different temperature surfaces, so the cold water, and then over the land, it's much warmer, and you get this circulation. So all that pollution that's been sitting over the water is then blown on shore because of that nice circulation, and you have all that pollution that's been, like you said, cooking with the hot temperatures and mixing and producing ozone is blown on shore, and now everyone's air quality just goes way, way down. We saw this 2 days ago, actually. Probably people might have saw an air quality alert go out where I think we've had the highest ozone ever recorded, or very close to it, here on the lakeshore. And in that case, 2 days ago, we had the worst ozone exceedance in the country.
Wow.
So it's a really interesting place to be to measure ozone production and look at all the chemistry.
And this is happening as you're conducting these samples. Are these conditions helpful for your research, or is this just like a coincidence?
Oh, it's, yeah, this is why we're here. You know, the lake breeze effect has been observed for a very long time in the high ozone production off the coast of Kenosha and blowing on shore. We've seen it a lot. So that's why we're here. And that's why a lot of these federal agencies are coming up here to do these studies, because what we define as poor air quality is if the air quality exceeds a certain value, right? So the EPA sets exceedances that you can't go over, right? Mm. So if you're in a really polluted city and they have a lot of exceedance days, they basically say, hey, well, we got to do something about it. We have to investigate who is causing this higher pollution, right? So to lower it to, you know, help improve the health of the public. But it's kind of hard to do, right? Because if you're in Wisconsin, right, and you're on the lakeshore, right, who's liable if your air quality goes down? Is it the local area? Is it Chicago? Or, as everyone's probably seen, is it the Canadian wildfires that are blowing all that PM2.5 and smoke over the state? So trying to figure out the solution for air quality is very difficult, and that's one of the main reasons why we actually come out here as air quality scientists, is to say, well, is it a local issue? You know, is there some local area that's causing higher pollution that can, you know, lower the air quality? Or is a larger scale issue? Do we have large scale transport like smoke fires, or like I was just talking about before with the Chicago plume, right? Who needs to improve their air quality to, you know, lower the exceedance days for where we're measuring?
Is this, I'm curious, is this the first time you've measured ground-level ozone in Wisconsin?
Yes, this is actually the first time the UAH team has actually been out here.
University of Alabama in Huntsville. Carry on. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first time we've actually been out here to participate in this campaign, but they've been doing a lot of these lake breeze ozone studies. In 2017, they had the Lake Michigan ozone study, which kind of found a lot of things we're seeing now, but you know, it seems like every study always opens up more questions. So that's why we're back to help out. In the rocket truck, you know, that long acronym you just gave, we just call it Rocket. That has an ozone LIDAR. That's the biggest thing. And an ozone LIDAR allows you to get profiles from the ground, around the ground level, all the way up to the troposphere of ozone. So we know the mixing ratios of ozone all the way up in that whole atmospheric column. We also do, like you said, balloon launches, because the meteorology is very important with air quality. And understanding how temperature and moisture changes with altitude, how is that pollution either going to be trapped at the surface where everyone's breathing, or is it going to stay aloft, right? So we won't, you know, won't be on the surface breathing all that stuff in. So we also are trying to do drone flights to measure air quality with little sensors. And of course, we have a CIRI aircraft, which is a pretty unique platform that allows our air quality instruments to get really low to the water. To measure both ozone, PM2.5, and NO2. So it's a very useful platform. It can fly much lower than other airplanes.
Have you hitched a ride on one of those planes flying super low over the water?
my boss flies it, and I tell you, the pilot seat is him, and the right seat is all the instruments.
Oh,
so there's
wow.
No room. Yeah.
Todd McKinney with us, graduate student at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, part of an ozone monitoring research project now underway in southeast Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions about air quality and ground level ozone, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Is there significance that this research would take place in a prairie or prairie land that is nearby Lake Michigan shoreline?
Yeah, so we are actually stationed right now in what's called Chewaukee Prairie. It's a national reserve. And really, why we want to be at this site is because we are directly on the lakeshore. I mean, I'm outside right now, and I can look to my east and I see the lake, right? So that's important because, like I was saying, that lake breeze circulation where, you know, you have all that nice lake air that comes on the shore, you want to be in that circulation. If you go too far inland, right, you don't really have that lake breeze effect. So let's say if the dominant wind direction during the day is from the west, right?
Mm-hmm.
The land might just get westward wind, but if you're on the lake and you have a nice lake breeze, you can have winds at the surface coming from the east, right? So that's what's unique about it, because if you have that Chicago plume that I was talking about over the lakeshore and you have winds coming from the east, now you're blowing all that pollution on shore. So that's why it's important to be at this site, because it gives us a really nice view of if we get that lake breeze effect and what's in the plume when it comes onto the shoreline.
Does that pollution ever get trapped out on the lake with the different types of wind patterns and just hovers over the lake? Does it disperse there, or does it eventually reach land?
Yeah, so it all is about the meteorology, right? So if the pollution is too far out in the center of the lake, right, it's not going to really travel into land, because the lake breeze, you know, it's really reserved for the shoreline and just a little bit past the shoreline over the water, right? You need that sharp temperature gradient to form the lake breeze, right? The land, it likes to absorb all that solar radiation, heats up the air rises, and then you have that cool lake air. So when your air rises, your cool lake air then comes in to take the place of the warm air that rises. So that's why you get that nice circulation. So if you're too far out over the water, right, you don't have that land temperature gradient to form that lake breeze. So there's really not a lake breeze if you're out in the center of the lake. So it's really important to be close, right on the shore, and that's where all the action happens.
You've brought up the Chicago effect, the Canadian wildfires as an influence to ground level ozone as well. If ozone pollution exceeds safe limits set by the Environmental Protection Agency and its source can be identified, is it possible the polluters would be held accountable in some way?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So that's one of the main goals that the EPA was set out to do when it was first founded, is to say, to set these limits and to determine who is the polluter and say, hey, you got to lower your emissions. But it's a little bit more difficult in this time and age, right? Because like I said, we're on the shoreline and, you know, we say, oh, the Chicago plume is coming over to the lakeshore. Well, what do we mean by that? Is that a particular power plant? Is that a collection of people just sitting in traffic, right, waiting for work? Is it the whole, downtown city district, their total emissions that are coming, you know, off the city? So it's a little difficult to try to find, well, who is the main polluter, right? You can't punish a whole city or a whole group of people sitting in their car for work. So really, that's our first goal, is to determine if we could find some sort of way to, you know, reduce the emissions. But our second goal, of course, is to understand the science. Is there something we can do as a population to increase our ability to know about air quality, to both save people's health, right, and to see if we can also measure enough of this to understand the chemistry to forecast when it's going to happen in the future, right? Mm-hmm. If I can predict an air quality event 5 days out, right, you can better be prepared, right? You can tell people to stay inside.
You can make plans. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, yeah, to answer your question again, it's a difficult question, right? When you talk about, you know, putting regulations and making people who pollute do it less, it's hard to do that because you really don't know, especially in this case along the lakeshore, who is the main cause. You just know it's a larger area, right?
Todd McKinney, graduate student in a project called the Rocket City Ozone Quality Evaluation in the Troposphere, based at University of Alabama in Huntsville, which is one of the scientific partners in an ozone monitoring project underway in southeast Wisconsin and over Lake Michigan. Call in with a question or a comment along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Natural Resources partners with universities on a project underway in Kenosha County gathering air samples to better understand pollution sources. The DNR says areas along Wisconsin's Lake Michigan shoreline have historically logged elevated quantities of ground-level ozone. Join in at any point about air quality monitoring. Call in with a question, a comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. University of Alabama in Huntsville graduate student Todd McKinney is here, works on the Rocket City Ozone Quality Evaluation in the Troposphere, which is involved in this project over southeast Wisconsin. Todd, the ozone monitoring project builds on this 2017 study in the area. What more are you hoping to learn years later?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the one thing that's different about what we're doing now is we have the ozone LIDAR, okay? So the ozone LIDAR is a really important tool because instead of just getting surface level ozone, right, like you would with a standard EPA station or an aircraft, you know, that takes ozone measurements, it can only take measurements over a certain area. Like it has to go back if it wants to measure over the same location. The ozone LIDAR gets you a profile of the whole atmospheric column around 0 to 10 kilometers in the troposphere every 2 minutes over one location. So that's a big deal, right? When you're talking about lake breeze ozone, because if you have ozone that's coming off the lake and it's coming towards the land, you have to realize, well, when does the ozone, the higher ozone concentrations, get to the surface? That's what we care about, because that's where everyone's breathing, right? We care about if the high level ozone stays aloft and if the high level ozone comes down, right? And we're starting to breathe it. So the ozone LIDAR, now that we have this tool, is going to allow us to pair it with our meteorological data to understand if the ozone is going to stay aloft or it's going to come down in the lake breeze circulation. So that's something that's going to shed a little bit more light compared to what the 2017 study. It didn't have the ozone LIDAR, so it's a big step for understanding ozone along the lake shore.
It sounds like it's also, instead of a little snapshot here and there, you get a much bigger, broader picture of an area. Is that
Yes.
what LIDAR can help do?
Yes, exactly. So it's a great tool to understand ozone in the vertical, right? The aircrafts, right, and the drones and the balloons are a little better in doing measurements in the horizontal, we call them. So the LIDAR, it all kind of comes together to make a big picture, because the LIDAR gets your profile over one location, and your aircraft measurements get your horizontal over a larger location. So we call it a nice time and spatial analysis that allows us to combine all these measurements to tell the story, right? Because that's really our goal as scientists, is to tell the story on the air quality and to understand if this happens again in the future, what's going on and how can we better prepare.
Let's bring in Tom in Green Bay. Tom, what would you like to ask?
Yeah, so I had a question about whether there are different isotopes of ozone, similar to how there are different isotopes of carbon dioxide that help research determine where the source of carbon dioxide came from, whether it's from like vehicles, factories, or volcanoes. Are there different types of ozone that can be attributed to certain industries or factories even?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We don't typically, there's really, we just look at the base ozone. There's no, isotopes. But what we also look at is the precursors to ozone. So we like to see, is NO2 high, right? Nitrogen dioxide. Is carbon monoxide high? If we have high carbon monoxide, we can say, oh, this might be from a biomass burning event, right? So instead of just looking at ozone, we also measure all sorts of different things, because those precursors we call primary pollutants then produce the secondary pollutant, ozone. So to understand ozone, you really need to understand first the primary pollutants to understand where it's coming from, right? If you have really very, very high NO2, that could be from a power plant, right? Or if you have very, very high CO, that could be from a biomass burning event, like a large fire that comes down. Or if you have very high particulate matter, which we saw 2 days ago, from the fires, that can also increase your ozone production. So it's the key is to answer your question, it's more about looking for other things that produce ozone, your primary pollutants, when trying to identify sources.
Tom, thanks for the call. As we talk about ground ozone in Wisconsin, Todd McKinney is a graduate student at the University of Alabama in Huntsville and part of an ozone monitoring research project that is underway in southeast Wisconsin. You can join in with your question at 800-642-1234. Todd, there are multiple collaborators here on gathering these samples and doing this research. Can you talk a bit about who's doing what here? How is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on this project, and who are the other researchers involved?
Sure, yeah. So, like you said, we have a lot of different universities that are all over the place. This is actually we call it the Aegis Project, which is a collaboration between a lot of different university groups that is doing more than just the research in the Chicago area. Right now, a lot of our assets, especially the aircrafts, are actually over New York, flying and taking measurements. And then later, hopefully at end of the month, beginning of next month, they're going to be up here. So they're hitting multiple different cities, right? It's not just one area. They're going to different areas. So specifically in Chicago, NOAA is one of the big collaborators. They have they're going to be flying one of the big aircraft, the DC-8, which has a lot of different instrumentation on this aircraft made from different universities, different government organizations. So they're all on the same aircraft, all taking data, which is a really, really cool thing to be able to say that we're collaborating that well. And then, of course, on the ground, we also have university ground assets like surface station monitors. We have people who are driving vehicles around. We have what these things called NASA Pandoras. Those are actually an asset from NASA that was funded to do column measurements. It's a spectrometer. So those are deployed all over the area. And then we also have little smaller sensors, like there's a Purple Air Network, we call it, which does particulate matter and a lower cost that can be deployed over larger areas. So a lot of different universities and a lot of different agencies collaborating for one goal. It's really cool.
It sounds like a candy store for a scientist like you.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, these, you know, we have group meetings and everybody loves to talk about the science, right? It could go on for a long time. Everyone is so interested, and especially up in the Chicago area where you have this nice lake breeze and it's producing just a lot of great data that's going to be used in the future a lot.
Well, producing a lot of great data in the future, what can we who are not involved in the project expect in the months and years to come from this? What should we be watching for in our moments left here?
Sure. So the biggest goal, at least for the public side, is awareness, right? We talk about air quality, and you probably hear me getting so excited about these events. But in reality, these events lower the air quality, which, you know, affect people's health. Like, why am I getting excited about it? A lot of people ask that. Well, it's more about, well, how can we better prepare and how can we better inform the public when these events are going to happen? That is the number one goal. You know, the point of air quality research is to improve our air quality. So in the future, I would definitely look out for more agency collaboration for understanding when these exceedance days are happening, right? When we have all this research and all this data that shows when an exceedance day is going to happen, well, now we can better prepare and better inform the public. So hopefully from these campaigns and all this research that comes out, we have forecasters who are now equipped to understand the impacts of these air quality events on the public and to better inform the public in the goal. So that's the main goal, and hopefully that will happen in the future as we look at the data after.
Todd, thank you for joining us and taking us into this project.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. It's been great.
Todd McKinney works on Rocket City ozone quality evaluation in the troposphere as a graduate student at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, part of an ozone monitoring project underway in southeast Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.